are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Now I have
that's
to, like,
our
look
thing. That's like our thing. I didn't know that you were recording it prior. Like, you have to, like, let these things be known to me.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I apologize for you having to stall your hangout with the ladies this evening, so...
I'm drinking vodka sodas alone, so this has been a splendid 40 minutes on my end.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Things get weird on this podcast. You're welcome.
All of a sudden, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Michael Crabtree just, like, kind of come in, and they do, like, a 45-second, you know, rap ensemble.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits DFS podcast. I am here with Mike Werner, and it's, you know, just been about 40 minutes of hanging out pre-broadcast, chatting, getting our stuff together. You ready?
Yes, I'm finally ready. Apologize for you having to stall your hangout with the ladies this evening. So
I'm drinking vodka sodas alone, so this has been a splendid 40 minutes on my end. So things get weird on this podcast. You're welcome.
I do want to say this, since, you know, I mean, before we jump into everything, I know you're a Raiders fan, and Bleacher Report comes out with these, like, YouTube videos every week. It's called Gridiron Heights. And this latest one was, it's called The Raiders Crash the AFC Elites Party. And essentially, it's like, you know, Von Miller and, you know, Antonio Brown and Tom Brady, you know, all, like, discussing how great they are in the AFC. And then all of a sudden, and this is like a cartoon, like, 1 minute long skits. And all of a sudden, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Michael Crabtree just, like, kind of come in, and they do, like, a 45-second, you know, rap ensemble. So I would recommend that you go on there and, yeah, check it out. It's pretty funny. Gridiron Heights is always, like, kind of a funny little, you know, just little sketch that they do every week. So I think that you should definitely explore that, and you'll probably have a nice little time watching it.
Poor Latavius. No love.
I don't know. That was just who they picked. I mean, maybe Latavius just isn't good enough for them.
He's a little cross-eyed, so I guess he'd be like a weird cartoon character.
A little cross-eyed. Maybe it's from the 9 concussions he's sustained.
Yeah, so far in his career. Wah, wah. I'm kind of excited for that Mexico City game. I'm not sure what to expect.
Are you really, though? Are you really excited for the Mexico City game?
I actually really like the Texans, so I just hate all these international games because they usually end up being very low-scoring and really boring.
Yeah, this is
but
true.
I kind of want to hear, like, stories about, like, Amari Cooper going to, like, a donkey show or something.
What? That just took a dark turn really fast.
But you know, like, these guys are, like, millionaires. They're, like, 23.
So
you know
they're obviously into donkey shows.
Or whatever. Yeah, amongst other things.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
If I was given the opportunity, I mean, I'd want to see a donkey show. Why not?
This is not where I envisioned this going.
Me neither. Why even talk about our DFS picks? I don't know. It's
Yeah, we can talk about donkey shows.
It's like when you're in Amsterdam, you go see, like, the sex show. You go, like, to a pot shop. You do whatever.
Have you been to Amsterdam? It seems like a place that you might have been. How was it?
I have. Okay, so I don't smoke weed, and I didn't in Amsterdam, so it's probably not my kind of place. I drink like a fish. That's my vice. And it also rained the whole time. But it's, like, a cool city, awesome people. Maybe I have to go back to get a better idea of it all. But I mean, it wasn't one of my favorite cities I've been to.
Yeah, if you don't smoke, I'm assuming it's not the best.
Right.
But I mean,
people I know smoke love it. But now we have it. Now in California, we have it. We just passed legal weed, so I feel like you don't need to go to Amsterdam to have that experience anymore.
No, I was more looking, like, for the absinthe experience. Did you not, like, do any absinthe? Isn't that, like, where
I did that. No, I did that in Prague.
Oh, how'd that go?
I didn't hallucinate.
You didn't? Did not.
I did not.
Huh.
I just thought, like, well, I don't know, I got blacked out drunk and I don't really remember, so maybe I did.
So maybe you did hallucinate.
But I blacked it out. But no, I think that's sort of a myth, urban legend. I know people, I don't know anyone who's hallucinated on absinthe. Do you?
I don't. And, you know, personally, I just don't really envision something making me hallucinate. So especially something that I, like, drink. So I was interested to see if somebody actually did. So far, I'm still, you know, waiting for somebody to come out. So if you actually have hallucinated on absinthe, please let me know. That way I can
tweet at us. I'm very curious. I actually don't. I know people who've had absinthe and not hallucinated. So share your stories.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts on this matter and on talk shows.
It's a pressing issue. All right, so, you know, since Brock Osweiler and Derek Carr will be busy at donkey shows on Monday, who are you going to play a quarterback this week? Do you like that transition? Is that good?
That was really good, actually. It was probably one of our best. We're getting there. We're getting kind of cohesive.
We're getting the hang of it.
I'll start with Tom Brady. He's 7,800 at San Francisco. You know, they have the highest implied point total on the slate at 32. New England does. I think that's a pretty obvious, you know, play to have, you know, borderline the best quarterback in football against San Francisco's defense. He scored 30 or more points in 2 of 3 road games this season. He has the 75% red zone completion percentage, which is first among all quarterbacks with 20 plus pass attempts in the red zone. San Francisco is 25th in fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks the last 4 weeks, approximately 22 points on average. And San Fran's defense has allowed 300-plus yards and or multiple touchdowns in every game since week 2. That's 8 straight to quarterbacks. So I think Tom Brady is pretty much as much of a lock as you can ask for at 7,800. I will say, though, with the slate kind of, especially on DraftKings, the way the pricing is kind of going, it's going to be difficult. You're going to have to sacrifice somewhere. Me personally, I'm willing to sacrifice a quarterback, but if you have found some, you know, kind of, you know, gems, you know, that are lower priced in other areas or in other positions, then, you know, obviously Tom Brady is the top guy for me on this slate. It's just going to be really tough where you want to kind of take that value.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They were so run heavy last week.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, and I also think they may just have a huge lead in this game to start running again, so maybe LeGarrette Blount is a good option. So I'm not sure how much Tom Brady will be throwing for 4 quarters, but again, I think they'll totally spank the 49ers.
Well, the 49ers, something I didn't really add here is the 49ers are the top team in pace in all football. I mean, obviously they're Chip Kelly led team. Chip Kelly just, you know, they have the highest pace in football. They like to run the most plays. They, you know, go no huddle all the time. So as far as the amount of, there's going to be more plays ran by New England just out of, just because of the result of the 49ers running more plays, you know, as they usually do. And also there's some narrative street here. I know Julian Edelman is from San Francisco area, and I believe so is Tom Brady. I don't know the exact, you know, narrative here, but I do know that there's some narrative stuff going on, and I'm a sucker for narratives.
May or may not be a narrative. We don't know what it is, but there's probably one.
Yeah, I heard a few things. I mean, I listened to a million, you know, sports talk, you know, radio shows. So, I mean, I know I heard a few of them, but regardless, you don't need a narrative for this game. Tom Brady is going to be completely fine.
And Gronk is going to be out, most likely, because he's not allowed to fly.
Yeah, because somebody punctured his lung.
Well, I think there's no longer a hole in his lung, which is a good thing.
This is true.
For him and other season-long Gronk owners, but Edelman will probably get some more targets this week. Hopefully.
Yeah, he is a very inconsistent guy for me. I mean, he is continually getting targets since Tom Brady's come back, at least since Cleveland in week 5. You know, he's gotten 8 or more targets in 4 of those 5 games. The problem is the touchdowns. We only have 1 touchdown on the season for Edelman, and at this point last season, he had 7. So it's like, it's really hard to bank on the red zone usage when he's not being targeted in the red zone much. And they're just plugging away with LeGarrette Blount, which is drives me absolutely insane. I just don't know what to really say about Blount. But as far as Edelman goes, I do have him as a play this week on my list. I think that he could easily score. I'm hoping every week I kind of say the same thing. He's kind of due to score 2 touchdowns. We'll kind of see. I you know, think that if you're going to play Tom Brady, then you surely have to play Edelman to kind of pair with him. San Francisco is, you know, what, 31st against the rush, but they're, you know, kind of mid-pack against the pass this season. So, and they historically have played a little bit better defense at home. Not saying they're going to stop anybody, but Edelman is more of a tournament play than a cash game play.
Sure. And who else do you like this week?
Let's see. I do want to talk about Big Ben really fast. I love him as a play, right? And I know a lot of people are going to kind of cite his home road splits, and you know, naturally quarterbacks play better at home, but it's pretty substantial the split between Big Ben at home and, you know, on the road against Cleveland. It's an amazing matchup, but it's priced that way. You know, $7,500 is a lot to pay, and I mean, with the way that Big Ben kind of came back, and you know, he did great against Pittsburgh or against Dallas at home, but going on the road against a division opponent, and not only is it a division opponent, but it's, you know, Hugh Jackson knows this Pittsburgh team pretty well. I think that they're going to try and game plan the best they can to kind of minimize the output from Big Ben. On top of that, there is a lot of warning signs in the wind department. I hear that there's supposed to be 30 mile an hour gusts of wind during this game. That's not something that we need to bank on right now on Thursday. But if that weather trend does continue, then that's certainly a problem for, you know, the pass game in this situation. Again, I think that Pittsburgh's going to have a great day here, and I think Big Ben will as well. But I'm just not going to pay $7,500 when I just don't think that the upside is 5 touchdowns. I think it's more of, you know, 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, which is fine, but that's going to pay off his salary as opposed to exceed it.
Well, I have the same concern with Roethlisberger that I do with Brady. It's also, I think they're going to, Pittsburgh will be up by a lot. I think the wind will be an issue. I think they're just going to run the ball a lot. So, of course, Le'Veon Bell is, you know, the most expensive running back once again, but I think that also doesn't get points for Big Ben. I think we're going to see a lot of running.
Yeah, and I agree. I if I'm going to roster one of the, you know, Pittsburgh guys, it's going to be Le'Veon Bell. That's also, you know, including Antonio Brown in the mix. I do like one of the tight ends there, but you know, Le'Veon Bell, like you mentioned, $8,800. He, you know, he's averaging 27 DraftKings points at home and 16 on the road, though. So I mean, at $8,800, if I was going to roster a Pittsburgh guy, it would be him. But I still don't. I don't love the price. That's where it really comes down to. And once, I mean, I don't know if the listeners have really looked at the DraftKings pricing quite yet, but once you start kind of digging in and building lineups, you'll really kind of see what I'm talking about. You'll have to make these decisions. And if it's between Le'Veon Bell at $8,800 and DeMarco Murray at $8,200, it's DeMarco Murray every single day of the week based on the matchup and, you know, the situation. So again, I think Le'Veon Bell is the type of guy that, you know, it doesn't really matter the matchup, and the Cleveland matchup alone is amazing for him. There's not, you know, he's had over 90 combined yards in every game against Cleveland, you know, in his entire career. So there's not been one matchup, even in the past when Cleveland's been better on defense, where he hasn't, you know, gotten to them. But I don't really think that the $8,800 price tag is worth paying for a guy that, you know, has amazing upside, but I don't like the fact that he's going on the road against a division opponent.
So I haven't really thought about this until we were just talking about it. What about D'Angelo Williams as a crazy play? Like, maybe they bench Le'Veon Bell fourth quarter and he gets some just garbage time points.
Yeah, in theory, I don't mind that. I just don't, I don't like to bank on game
super
scripts.
Super risky.
Yeah, it's not just super risky. It's, you know, it's all the risk. I mean, he's only gotten 4 touches the last 3 games combined. And you know, even when they were easing Le'Veon Bell in week 3, he still, you know, only got 8 touches.
I think he got like that one garbage time touchdown, I think.
Yeah, he did. He got a touchdown. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I understand in theory trying to do that, but I would much rather do that for a guy like Dwan Harris, for San Francisco, who is just as cheap. But, you know, if you consider the Patriots just a lock to win by 25 plus points, then, you know, why not go with a guy like Dwan Harris, who, you know, has been great when he's on the field. It's just going to be a matter of workload with Carlos Hyde, you know, returning and stuff like that. I do want to talk about Rodgers. He's, you know, he was the top play last week. He obviously did great, but he's doing it on, you know, 50 plus pass attempts each and every week. How about the Tennessee game? I just don't even know what to really say about the Tennessee Green Bay game last week. I live in Nashville, and the fact that there were so many Green Bay fans that were, you know, here in town, you know, for the game itself, and, you know, were absolutely stunned by how Tennessee just kind of railed them. It was a pretty amazing sight to see. But yeah, like I said, with Rodgers, 48 pass attempts per game over the last 4 weeks is the highest among any quarterback in the NFL. The over-under for the game against Washington is 50.5, which is also the fourth highest on the slate. They're also underdogs to Washington as well, which is pretty sweet, I guess. And, you know, he has 30-plus points in 2 straight road games as well. Washington defense has allowed 280-plus yards and 2 touchdowns to Sam Bradford and Andy Dalton over the last 2. You know, Rodgers is is first in DraftKings points over the last 4 weeks. So there's just a lot of signs on paper that this should be another great situation for Rodgers. Again, it's, if I'm making the pick between Rodgers and Brady, I think Brady is the safer option based on the matchup. But I think that there's some other quarterbacks that I'd rather kind of pay down for in this situation when you have so many other skill players amongst the wide receivers and running backs that just cost so much that you want to kind of fit in.
Well, there's someone, maybe Marcus Mariota, who we hate every week but continues to put up crazy numbers.
Yeah, and he's written down here. The Colts, the Colts are 29th in fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks on the season. They're also 30th in fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. On average, 25 points per game allowed over the last four. Most passing touchdowns and fifth most rush yards allowed to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks as well. Mariota is first in fantasy points overall since week four. He's fifth in fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks. He's also averaging 300 yards and two touchdowns in two career meetings against Indianapolis. So he's had two meetings against them, and that's the average. You would have to think that it continues against an Indianapolis defense that's actually worse than it was last season. I don't know how you get away from him. 6,700, it's a discount from all the couple of other guys that we've already mentioned up top. He adds a rushing kind of, just kind of side to his game that, all the other quarterbacks that we've also mentioned just don't really add. Rodgers does have that capability, but it's not the first choice for him. Mariota can easily go for 60, 70 yards, and we wouldn't, think twice about it. So I love Mariota. I love this game. I love the Tennessee and Indy game. Like Andrew Luck, too, on the other side of things, who I know that, you were pretty vocal about hating prior to starting here. But I'll throw some stats, in his favor.
But look at Tennessee. Okay, they have a terrible offensive line, and Indiana does, and look what they did to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and Tennessee has the obvious line advantage here. Andrew Luck has been under duress all season, and Tennessee's defensive line isn't the best in football, but it's certainly better than the offensive line for Indianapolis. I also like to give offensive and defensive line grades on my matchups and everything, and I have a clear, I have this highlighted as a clear advantage for Tennessee in that aspect. So that's something that you'll certainly want to kind of take into account here. Some things that favoring Luck. He's seventh in red zone efficiency and top 10 in red zone attempts, which is amazing, especially considering that, this game has the highest over under of the week. He scored 30.8 DraftKings points at Tennessee in week 7 already. He has 11 touchdowns in his last four games versus Tennessee dating back to 2014, 20 plus DraftKings points in three of the last four home games, highest over under, like I already mentioned. And Tennessee is 26th in pass defense DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, 24th in fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks, and 32nd in fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks allowed to quarterbacks, on average 27 points. There's a lot going in Andrew Luck's favor, just like there's a lot going in Marcus Mariota's favor. Great history, high over under, pretty bad red zone defenses. This game should go off.
I agree with you. I just like the other side.
Yeah, no problem. I'd say based on price, I mean, it's a 500 difference. It's pretty much a pick 'em at that point. It's who you feel more comfortable with. I will say Andrew Luck's coming off a bye. You feel a little bit better about that. And this is a big game for Tennessee. If Tennessee gets by Indianapolis here, they have a legitimate chance of winning the AFC South. Yeah. I feel like, all signs point to Indianapolis kind of correcting things and getting this done. We'll see though. I mean, I like the game from a fantasy perspective. I do want to mention Eli Manning against Chicago. He's 6,300, a little bit more of a discount compared to some of the other guys. He has 3+ touchdowns and 20+ DraftKings points in 3 straight home games. The Bears defense has allowed multiple touchdowns to quarterbacks in every road game, which is 5 this season. 3 300-yard passers as well. Giants offensive line is 2nd in adjusted sack rate, and the Bears defensive line, while good this season, should be kind of held up by that. And the Giants offense is 2nd in pace for the season as well. Has the 5th highest implied point total on the slate at 26.5 points. I love the game for Eli Manning. I think he kind of continues on the positive trend that he's been on. I will say that based on the price, I don't think that he's a massive upside play. I think he's more of a cash game option, but I do like him nonetheless. Russell Wilson, I think, will be really under-owned against Philadelphia. He's 6,100. The last 2 weeks, he has 26+ DraftKings points in 2 straight games. He's looking better on the field. He's kind of passing the eye test. He's a little bit more mobile than we saw earlier in the year. Philadelphia's defense has allowed 12 quarterback touchdowns in the last 4 road games.
That's to Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, and Matthew Stafford. I would definitely put Russell Wilson in that class. And while the Eagles are first in pass defense DVOA and sixth in fantasy points per game versus the quarterback on the season, I think that that itself will yield to low ownership for Russell Wilson, just because everybody's going to be looking at that and get kind of scared away. The Russell Wilson in the second half last year was the number one fantasy quarterback, and they're, you know, the Seahawks seem like they are trending in that direction of throwing the ball a ton, and I think Wilson will definitely profit from that. So how do you like Wilson?
Well, on the I actually don't like him because I like the Philly D, but I want to go back to what you're saying about Russell being a top quarterback in the second half. Tom Brady's actually a 10th or 11th ranked quarterback at the end of the season, the last three seasons. So that's maybe if you're deciding between Tom Brady, Rodgers, or Big Ben at the top this week, that's something to consider.
Yeah, I, you know, personally, if I'm picking between the three of those, I'm taking Brady in cash games, and then I'm taking Rodgers in tournaments. If I'm looking up top, if I'm going mid tier, I'm still going Luck, but Mariota's like right there. You can kind of, you know, flip a coin on either one of those guys. You know, I know that you prefer Mariota, and you know, based on the rushing, I don't mind that play at all. And based on what he's been doing, I feel like every millionaire maker team has had Marcus Mariota over the last like 5 weeks.
But, are there any cheap quarterbacks you like, sort of at the bottom of the barrel?
Yeah, I mean, I like Dak Prescott again against Baltimore. Just insanely efficient. He's fourth in
fantasy. He is still only $6,000. Just shocks me.
It really is. I mean, it's crazy. You know, and Baltimore's defense has allowed, you know, 2+ scores in all 4 road games they've played this year, and that's to guys like Blake Bortles, trash ass, Josh McCown's trash ass, Eli Manning, and even, get this, even the Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick Express, they allowed 2+ passing touchdowns too. So, I mean, Dak Prescott is obviously, you know, much better than all of those guys, really.
He hasn't gotten under 18 points since week one.
No.
And you want 3 to 4, you know, 4, maybe 5 times your starting salary in points, and he's just promises you that almost.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, I mean, he's fourth in fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks among quarterbacks, and nobody would expect that. He has multiple touchdowns in 7 straight as well, kind of like you alluded to. I mean, this is also Baltimore. They have an elite run defense, which means it's going to kind of funnel the Cowboys and force them to pass the ball more. And I think it might not necessarily, Ezekiel Elliott can beat pretty much any run defense, but for the season, Baltimore has been extremely awesome against on the ground essentially, and have forced teams to throw the ball against them. And if Dak is forced to throw the ball, I think that he can easily handle that. So, I also like Kirk Cousins on the other side of the Green Bay game. He's 5,800, a couple hundred less, obviously, than, you know, Dak and Russell Wilson. But Green Bay's defense has allowed 9 touchdowns in the last 3 road games. Cousins has multiple touchdowns in 3 straight home games. He's top 6 in pass attempts per game at 43 over the last 4 weeks. And the 50.5 over under has actually, you know, already went up one more spot this today. You know, I did these over unders yesterday. It's already went back up to 51.5 as of this recording. So, I mean, obviously, Vegas likes this game. They think that's going to be high scoring. Both defenses are not very good. And, you know, Green Bay's defense in particular has just been pretty hideous across the board. To come into Tennessee and allow them just to kind of run free down the field multiple times is insane. So I love Cousins. He's actually one of my top tournament plays this week just based on upside alone. I also like Tyrod Taylor at 5,600, who I know you hate. This is the reason why, though. Cincinnati's defense is giving up the 5th most fantasy points per game up to quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor has a rushing touchdown in 3 straight games, 40-plus rush yards per game as well over the last 4 weeks, which is 2nd among any quarterback. And Cincinnati's defense is giving up the 2nd most rush yards to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks and the 2nd most rushing touchdown. So, you know, once you factor
in that, they're coming off a bye as well.
They are. I mean, but once you factor in the rushing for Tyrod Taylor, if you automatically give him 3 points due to the rushing and you give him a 70% chance at scoring a rushing touchdown, I mean, that, you know, the 6 points for the rushing touchdown as opposed to the 4 for the passing is, you know, a big deal over the course of time. So, I mean, I think that Tyrod is a decent, you know, cash game play if you wanted to go really low, kind of almost bare minimum. If you want to go really bare minimum, Colin Kaepernick versus New England, 5,200. He's the last guy I have written down. He's rushed for 50-plus yards in 3 of the last 4 games, 23-plus DK points in 2 straight. He's also top 7 in fantasy points per game on DraftKings over the last 4 weeks. New England's defense is allowing 22 DraftKings points on average over the last 4 weeks, which is in the bottom 10 among all fantasy defenses. And also, they are also 27th in DVOA against the pass, according to Football Outsiders. So maybe some Colin Kaepernick love is in order.
You're on your own. You're on Colin Kaepernick Island all alone, stranded.
I hear you.
Talk to me about some running backs, because I know, I think this is another week where we're going to pay up for running backs.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I was hitting my e-cig here. DeMarco Murray, other than Le'Veon Bell, you know, DeMarco Murray is the second price guy at 8,200. It's kind of enough said with him. You know, the Indianapolis run defense has, in particular, been absolutely hideous across the board this year. You know, pretty much DeMarco Murray is getting top three in touches among any running backs. He's getting high red zone usage. I am a little bit worried about the injury scare. He did miss practice earlier this week. So that's something certainly to monitor when going into this game. But, you know, the Indianapolis run defense already gave up 120 yards and a touchdown to him earlier this season. And I think that that's probably what you'll see again coming into this week. I will say Derrick Henry isn't a bad punt. You know, approximately what, $5,000 less in salary, and, you know, could easily get, you know, 5 to 10 carries in this game. Maybe he busts one off. I don't mind throwing Henry out there if you know, legitimately feel like Tennessee is going to use him for 5 to 10 touches or so. But, you know, while it's risky, I think that it's just, you know, something to throw out there if you're kind of in the gambling spirit. I do like LeSean McCoy this week as well. He's coming off the bye week, getting healthier, just consistent with his production in terms of touchdowns, red zone usage. Also, the Cincinnati deep run defense has been pretty bad recently. They allowed 100 yards to Rashad Jennings just on Monday Night Football. Rob Kelly had 80 yards and a touchdown against them. Isaiah Crowell had over 80 combo yards and a touchdown. LeGarrette Blount scored, shocker, against them. And Ezekiel Elliott had a massive game too. So Cincinnati's run defense is pretty leaky, and I think that, you know, LeSean McCoy is the focal point of this offense. Should be pretty. I would actually start off with LeSean McCoy above Le'Veon Bell and DeMarco Murray in terms of my cash game or tournament lineups, just because he's not going to be nearly as high owned. And I think that he has just as high of upside if everything kind of broke right for him. Do you agree with that?
I don't have a strong opinion either way. How about that?
Well, if you had to pick between the three, who would you go with?
I like LeSean McCoy.
Nice. So I like to hear. Honestly, I just needed a drink break because I keep talking way too much.
You do talk a lot. No, I really like LeSean McCoy a lot.
LeSean or LeCoy.
He's pretty unstoppable. Like, he hasn't had a bad game. I get, like, Mike Gildsley stole a few touchdowns for him when he was sort of questionable. But, yeah, I like him a lot this week.
Yeah, I mean, prior to him getting injured, he was, you know, pretty consistent, again, in terms of his, you know, output. I there's really not much, you know, negative. The only thing negative is, you know, if you think that this game is going to be completely all Cincinnati and you think they get away from him. But, you know, if you take out... Yeah, and I don't either. I mean, but if you take out that game against Miami in week 7 where he was just, like, coming off that injury, you have 100-plus combo yards in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight games with 80 combo yards in 6 straight. Scores in 1, 2, 3, 4 of those 6 games as well, or 4 of those 5 games as well. So, I mean, he's just as consistent as any of those top-tier guys.
No consistent pass catchers, you know, wide receivers or even their tight ends. So if they get in the red zone, it's probably going to LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I do like Charles Clay a bit. I guess I'll talk about him a little bit in terms of the tight ends when we get there. But regardless, I think that McCoy is the focal point, and I love him against Cincinnati. Also somebody that I think will just be lower owned based on the guys in front of him. Jay Ajayi, I'm going to mention again at 6,800, just because he is getting so much of a workload that there's just no way that you can ignore him. Over the last 4 weeks, he's averaging approximately 25 touches per game. That's third among any running backs in football. And he's also, what, sixth in fantasy points per game over the last 4 weeks as well. LeGarrette Blount just snuck in front of him because of that 3-touchdown outburst, which still pisses me off. Notice that I won't have LeGarrette Blount on as a play. I can't trust him.
I just think he's definitely getting a touchdown.
On paper, he has an amazing matchup, you know, and I'll just go on a side tangent here. Yes, on paper, amazing matchup. San Francisco is 31st in DVOA against the rush this year. They are across the board just the worst team against the running back position. So, I understand on paper why he looks a great play. They're allowing, on average, almost 29 fantasy points per game to the position. But I can't get behind it because I feel like the Patriots are kind of I have this gut feeling they're going to go with more of a pass happy approach this week. They might implement more Deion Lewis. They don't like to be predictable, and I don't think that they're going to continue that route. If LeGarrette Blount scores 3 touchdowns, will I be surprised? Absolutely not, because this is the matchup that would, you know, lean to that. But I also just I don't think that the Patriots are going to be that predictable. I think they're going to pass a little bit more than we expect. But back to JHIE, consistent workload, 25 touches a game over the last few weeks. LA is pretty leaky on the running back front. They allowed a touchdown and over 90 combo yards to Bilal Powell just last week. They did stuff Jonathan Stewart the week prior and the Giants running backs the week prior to that. But they allowed 150 plus yards to LeSean McCoy. They allowed massive game to David Johnson. They allowed a massive game to Charles Sims. Pretty consistently getting burned at the running back position. So I like JHIE and just the fact that Miami is going to continue to pound the ball on the ground. I also like Spencer Ware against the Buccaneers. I expect the Chiefs to pretty much be in the lead against the Buccaneers. They're -7 favorites in Vegas right now, and I think that they can pretty much control the game consistently throughout. And also the Buccaneers, who have been widely regarded as one of the best run defenses so far in the last few years, have not been good over the last few weeks. Let's see, they're in the bottom 9 in fantasy points per game allowed to the running back position. Over the last 4, they allowed 100 yards to Jordan Howard. They allowed over 100 combo yards to Devontae Freeman. They allowed Latavius Murray to have over 70 yards. And Sean Drone even scored against them. Or I guess the San Fran running backs had 2 touchdowns against them in total. So this is a team that, while even healthy on the defensive line, can still yield a lot of fantasy production to the running back position. Spencer Ware is finally going to be healthy for the first time in multiple weeks. I think that he is going to be another guy that's just really low owned in tournaments and should be considered. I kind of go through the rest of the list, and I'm talking a ton. Sure. And
Can I give you my cheap sneaky pick?
Yeah, yes.
I like Rob Kelly this week a lot. I mean, as we talked about, nice. The Packers gave up a lot of points. Their defense gave up a lot of points last week to the Titans, and he's cheap. He's $4,400. Yeah, there he is, $4,400, and I think he's going to give you at least 3x your value there.
I love the pick. I love Rob Kelly. I think he is a awesome guy to kind of pivot to, who's just insanely cheap, like you kind of mentioned. So I love him, $4,400. He just just consistently, he's had 20 plus touches over the last 2 games. He's had 80 plus yards over the last 2 as well. Yeah. I really like the pick. I have him written down as an option. And, the Green Bay defense, like I kind of mentioned last week, when talking about the Titans matchup with DeMarco Murray, they were amazing the first 4 weeks of the year, but since they faced Ezekiel Elliott, they've been in the bottom 10. So, obviously a pretty good matchup for them. They will get Clay Matthews back this week. Green Bay does. So I'm a little bit worried about that, but I do like Rob Kelly based on the price alone.
Who else do you have?
I like Theo Riddick against Jacksonville. I think it's going to be a pass-happy game script, and Riddick is still assuming most of the snaps and the touches at the running back position for the Jacksonville Jaguars, or I'm sorry, for the Detroit Lions. Jacksonville is 28th in DVOA against the rush this season. They've allowed a ton in terms of running back production, so I really like Theo Riddick this week. Frank Gore against Tennessee. I think he is another guy that, in a game that has such a high over-under and, everybody's going to be looking for the pass catchers, I think Frank Gore will kind of go unnoticed.
Sneak in the end zone.
Yeah, and that's the thing here. His price is only $5,000. All he has to do is, get, 70 yards or 60 yards and a touchdown, and you're kind of, money in the bank at this point. And, there's nobody else on this team that's assuming any carries for them. He has gotten at least 19 touches in, almost every single game over the last 5 weeks, except for one against Kansas City when they were kind of getting blown out. But regardless, consistent workload, consistent red zone usage. He's had a touchdown in, it looks like, 5 of the last 7 games. So I think that Frank Gore is a decent little punt option. Todd Gurley, and this is purely a tournament option for you. I understand if you just are like, I'm not playing Todd Gurley ever again just because, you really can't feel comfortable with that.
He's due for one big game. It wasn't last week.
Well, there's a ton of cons here. You have Jared Goff coming in, which tells me that, you know, Miami is going to just stack the box.
Well, that is my number one defense pick for the week is Miami.
Yeah, and I have them listed as well. I mean, there's no way you can against Jared Goff, who wasn't even able to beat out Case Keenum to get in. But, you know, Miami did allow over 90 yards and a touchdown to Matt Forte in week 9. They allowed over 130 yards to Melvin Gordon just last week in week 10. They allowed a touchdown to Reggie Bush the week prior, over 100 yards to Le'Veon Bell, over 130 yards to DeMarco Murray. So consistently, once again, just consistently kind of getting burnt against the running back position. I will say they're not allowing a lot of scores. So you're kind of hoping and praying that Todd Gurley gets 70 yards in a score, which would be like...
I was gonna say, he hasn't even had an over 100-yard game, has he?
Yeah, he has. He's had a few, but regardless, he only has, he hasn't scored since week 5. he's had one game where he scored 2 touchdowns against the Bucs, but that's kind of the highlight of his season to this point. Regardless, though,
he had 3 touchdowns all season. Ugh.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. But regardless, he is a fine tournament play for me because I do think that there's not a lot of upside amongst a lot of these 5,000 or less running backs.
He hasn't had more than 100 receiving rushing yards all season.
Oh, no, not just rushing. Yeah, combo yards is kind of the way I consider it. But, yeah, no, just rushing alone, no. And he had, 5 last season less time? So that's certainly something to look at. I also like Darren Sproles. I think people are going to overlook him. 4,500 against Seattle. Ryan Matthews, obviously, kind of crushed every fantasy owner's dreams last week, just assuming all of the red zone work. But I expect Seattle to kind of be, leading this game pretty heavily. It's at home in Seattle. They're favorites, and I think Sproles is the, predominant passing down back. He should get targeted consistently like he has been of recent, and I think that he's a fine gamble at 4,500, especially for tournaments. Jeremy Hill against Buffalo, I'm just kind of throwing him out there because pretty much what Rex Ryan likes to do and what he's already said is that he's going to take away AJ Green. He's going to do whatever he can to do so. And if you have, all your coverage kind of slanted towards him, then I think it leaves, the running game a little bit more open. So they allowed 200 yards. This is the same Buffalo team that allowed 200 yards to Jay Ajayi. And this was before, he was actually Jay Ajayi and, have had a couple of, they allowed the 100-yard combo game and a touchdown to Todd Gurley earlier this year. They allowed over 100 yards to the Patriots running backs. So multiple times that they've gotten kind of hit. Jeremy Hill is also assuming all of the red zone usage for the running back group as well. So if they're going to score from inside the 5 or 10, it's definitely going to be Hill. Like Rob Kelly, just a couple other tournament darts. CJ Procise against Philadelphia. I think everybody's going to own him. He's 4,200. We obviously saw what he did with a limited workload, but a bigger workload last week. And I think that even though New England isn't great against the run, Philadelphia just is about the same, if not a little bit worse. We finally saw Procise get 25 touches. I don't think that continues, but I think a guy that you're getting at 4,200 that's going to get 15 touches is worth the gamble for sure. But again, beware, he is going to be the highest owned running back on the slate.
So why him over Thomas Rawls? You just think Thomas Rawls is going to get the workload and they're going to ease him in?
Yeah, I think they're going to ease him in. Yeah, I think that he is going to get, at most 10 touches. And if he doesn't, if he ends up getting, 20, then I will be shocked. But CJ Procise, kind of like I mentioned in the main show, he's not just some skinny little guy that, he's not Theo Riddick. He's 6 feet, 220, and he has a lot of build to him. He was a third-round pick, pretty decent pedigree. I think that he's the type of guy that just isn't your normal scat back. He's not Darren Sproles out there. He's the type of guy that can run between the tackles. He got 17 rushes last week. It wasn't just in the pass game. So I think that he is going to end up getting the majority of the workload once again this week, and then going forward, it'll be more of a split situation. But DraftKings is kind of baiting you here at 4,200. I'm not going to lie. I feel like everybody's going to be on him, and I'm going to be a little bit worried about ownership for sure, but also going to be worried just about output because I don't trust it quite yet. But I do think that he's a decent cash game or tournament option just based on the price alone. I do like the Cleveland guys, Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. I mainly like Crowell because whenever Hugh Jackson has kind of said, I need to run the ball more, he's done that the week following, and Crowell is the guy he does that with. Whenever Crowell gets 15-plus touches, he typically has a double-digit DraftKings day. He's only at 3,900, so I think that it's a pretty solid price for a guy that should get 15 to 20 touches if everything breaks right. Even when Cleveland's down, I think that they will continually feed the ball to Crowell a bit. The Pittsburgh defense has allowed 100-yard rushers in three of the last four, and they've allowed six touchdowns over the last four games as well, or seven touchdowns to the running back position as well over the last four games. So certainly a team that you can kind of target in the run game. I will throw Chris Ivory as the last guy against Detroit, 3,600. People will be completely off of him, and I think that he probably will get 15 to 20 touches again because nobody in their right mind wants to let Blake Bortles continue to throw the ball.
The way he does. I don't blame you on that one.
It's insane.
No TJ Yeldon, all Chris Ivory.
Yeah, I'm going Ivory. I mean, I do like Yeldon in a sense because I do think Detroit's up in the game. But, you know, do you really feel comfortable playing TJ Yeldon in a tournament? I mean,
I don't really feel comfortable playing Chris Ivory either, but they're both sort of a coin flip to me.
Yeah.
How about wide receivers? Moving right along.
Yeah, I'll try to go a little quicker with the wide receivers. Let's see. I'll keep it simple. I like Odell Beckham against Chicago. He's been absolutely insane over the last 6 weeks or so. He's consistently getting seven or more targets each game. Target share is high. Red zone usage is high. You know, 8,500, you're going to have to pay for it. But against Chicago, I think that, you know, there's certainly, you know, not many worse plays there, or not many better plays there. Sorry. Mike Evans against Kansas City. Marcus Peters is questionable for this game. He hasn't practiced either Wednesday or Thursday as of right now, and if he is out, that's even better for Evans. But even if he's in, the, you know, Peters likes to stay on one side of the field, so Mike Evans can easily kind of shift over to the other side and, you know, continue to eat against the Kansas City team that has been, you know, what, bottom 10, I believe, in fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers this season. I like T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief both. I like Dante Moncrief a bit more at 6,100 as opposed to T.Y. Hilton at 77, but both are fine tournament options. I also like the you know, Rishard Matthews, who has consistently been getting targeted in the red zone and, you know, scored once again with Marcus Mariota at the helm. So I really like that game in general. Like Jordy Nelson, but I like Davante Adams even more, who I was mulling over with you prior to the show starting.
I hate him. Oh, look how many points he's had the last four games.
Yeah, it's not even just the points. It's just the amount of targets he's getting and workload, and it's just all together, there's not much bad you can really say about Davante Adams at this point. He has a 40-point game this season, which is just insane. So, yeah, over the last...
That's what he was on my bench in season long, so... Maybe I'll put him back on my bench and play him in DraftKings and make some money.
Sure, yeah.
That's how it works.
What I also really like about Davante Adams is the matchup. You know, not only is he top 10 in fantasy DraftKings points per game over the last 4 weeks, but against wide receiver twos, Washington is, you know, 28th in fantasy points. So that's an amazing, you know, matchup for him, especially when, you know, you have guys like, I'm sorry, Washington's dead last in fantasy points per game allowed to the second wide receiver spot. So whether it's Randall Cobb, who is highly questionable right now, or Davante Adams, I think that that secondary wide receiver will be the one that does better against Washington, you know, obviously not facing Josh Norman. I like Julian Edelman. We already talked about, you know, the possible narrative street here that we are kind of undecided on. We don't know why it's necessarily narrative street, but there's narrative street here, I promise. 6,300, we have to kind of just hope that regression, you know, regression to the mean hits in a positive manner for Edelman here. Doug Baldwin against Philadelphia. This is about the time last year where Doug Baldwin and the Seattle offense just really turned it around. I mean, we already saw it last week against the Patriots, him getting three touchdowns. Do I expect him to get three touchdowns again? No, but it wouldn't be the first time that he had back-to-back three touchdown games. So I do like Doug Baldwin against Philadelphia here. They are a bit more leaky against the secondary than you might expect. Terrell Pryor against Pittsburgh, 5,600. Cleveland's going to have to pass a ton in this game against Pittsburgh. I expect them to be down. Pryor is still continually getting a high workload and a high usage rate. Jameson Crowder against Green Bay. I like Kirk Cousins, so I like Jameson Crowder. I also like Pierre Garçon if DeSean Jackson is held out. If DeSean Jackson plays, then I think that Crowder is the guy that you want to go with at 5,400. Still not seeing his price rise high enough. I like Marvin Jones and Golden Tate against Jacksonville, 5,000 and 5,300 respectively. I like Marvin Jones a little bit more for tournaments. I know Jim Bob Cooter and the Detroit offense were talking kind of over the bye week about getting him a little bit more involved. And I think that, you know, this is kind of like a, you know, squeaky wheel situation with Marvin Jones. You know, you have to kind of keep him happy and give him a little bit more deep, you know, deep targets. And I think that that's what happens here against Jacksonville. He also probably won't get Jalen Ramsey. It probably will be kind of a mix. So I do like this matchup for Jones, but Golden Tate has a higher floor in my opinion.
Sterling Shepard has, you know, scores in multiple straight games, 4,700 against Chicago. If you don't want to go Odell Beckham, I do think that Shepard is a really nice pivot and, you know, obviously much cheaper, almost half the price. I like Tyreek Hill against Tampa Bay at 4,500. Tampa Bay has been terrible across the board against wide receivers. They are the worst in fantasy points per game allowed to the position. They literally can't tackle. Tyreek Hill is an absolute freak of nature. I expect Jeremy Maclin to be out this week, once again. So with Tyreek Hill, you know, kind of assuming more of a role, I mean, he ended up getting 13 targets last week against Carolina, catching 10 of them. That's great efficiency. He also has caught, you know, 5 of 6 targets against Indianapolis, 3 of 5 targets against Jacksonville. I think that he has a very good spot to, you know, accrue some fantasy value here. 4,500 is an amazing price. Probably will, along with CJ Procise, will be very high owned with a lot of people looking for value. And then Eddie Royal's the last guy I'll talk about. 3,400 against the Giants. He has a bit of a rapport with Jay Cutler, and you would have to expect that somebody is going to get the targets with Alshon Jeffrey being out for 4 weeks. So it's not going to be Cameron Meredith, I can promise you that.
I mean, Alshon Jeffrey went kamikaze. He was like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore.
If I'm going to, like, I'd rather just... Yeah, kamikaze, then have to work with Jay Cutler anymore. And by the way, everyone, you're welcome. Last week, if you listened to me, I suggested Kenny Britt as one of my favorite cheaper options, and he went off last week. And also RIP Kenny Britt, because Jared Goff is coming in and he will no longer have fantasy value.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how Jared Goff does, because yeah, it's either going to work out one of two ways. He's going to be brilliant on the field, and everybody is going to, you know, ridicule the Rams for being idiots and sitting him on their bench for, you know, the first however many weeks of the season. Or the more likely scenario, he is absolute trash, and, you know, everybody's like, well, why'd they even switch in the first place? Well, they should just let him stay on the bench.
Jeff Fisher's sort of like, all right, you guys want Jared Goff in? Here you go. See for yourselves.
Yeah, well, he consistently was saying, like, I'm not going to put him in until we are out of it. And I guess he's saying they're out of it at this point. But, I mean, they were out of it, like, prior to the season starting.
Of course. And the bar is just so low with him, too. So, if he just exceeds any sort of – if he throws one touchdown, people will be impressed.
This is true.
Just couldn't have a lower bar. All right. Let's talk tight ends.
Yeah. I like to go with high upside guys here. And, you know, with obviously Gronk not being able to play this week, I'm really liking Jordan Reed against Green Bay. I love the game. So, you know, Green Bay is giving up, you know, what, the 28th most fantasy, or their 28th in fantasy points per game allowed to the tight end position. Jordan Reed's really kind of due, and I think he's going to have really low ownership because of his price and because everybody's going to be wanting to spend down at multiple places, and usually the easiest place to do that is on the tight end position. Delaney Walker against Indianapolis is going to be absolute chalk. You know, the Indianapolis Colts have given up the, you know, fifth most fantasy points per game to the tight end position, but they are just they're terrible against tight ends. It's kind of, other than the Lions, I don't know of a team that's, you know, worse against tight ends on a per game basis. So, you know, if you just kind of go through the game logs against Indianapolis, they allowed 6 for 64 against Richard Rodgers, 7 for 101 in a touch to Travis Kelce, 7 for 84 in a touch to Delaney Walker in their first meeting in week 7. CJ Fedorowicz had 6 for 85 in a touchdown. Zach Miller, 7 for 73. I mean, you kind of get the point. Every single guy has kind of gone off, so Delaney Walker is no different. I really like Tyler Eifert against Buffalo. We've seen Eifert just really kind of emerge on the scene here after being out for, you know, the majority of the season coming in. He's 5,400. I don't love the price, but I do love the matchup against Buffalo. Over the last couple of games here, 2 touchdowns, 8 receptions, 103, and 2 touchdowns allowed to Jimmy Graham, 5 for 109, a touch to Gronk. I know those are terrible matchups, but they still allowed 5 for 109 against Martellus Bennett earlier this year. I think that quality tight ends can really do damage against them. And I think with all of the attention towards AJ Green, that Eifert is a pretty awesome tournament play. The last ones I'll just kind of go through. Eric Ebron against Jacksonville, 4,100, great price. Zach Miller, pretty much Jay Cutler's preferred target at this point against the Giants, 3,800. Martellus Bennett, no Rob Gronkowski in San Francisco, 3,700. He is probably going to be, other than Delaney Walker, like the ultra chalk this week, especially, you know, with the price being 37. And then Charles Clay against Cincinnati, 2,600, and Ladarius Green at 2,500 against Cleveland. I think both of those are really nice punt options if you're going to completely punt the tight end position.
All right, defense. We're almost there.
I know. We're
doing
almost
there.
I'll be really simple here. Giants against Chicago, 3,500. I'm pretty sure everybody saw Jay Cutler last week. The Chiefs against the Buccaneers, 3,400. They've gotten double-digit points in, I believe, five straight. If you take out one game, they've had, you know, pretty much double-digit points in every single matchup. Also, like the Lions, you'll have to pay for them at 3,200 against Jacksonville, but that's the price you pay when facing a Blake Bortles-led offense. Dolphins, who I really that's like along favorite. With you, that's yeah, 2,900 this week against the Rams and AKA Jared Goff. Love that matchup. I don't love that it's on the road, but I don't mind it still. And then Dallas.
I mean, they had 17 points on the road last week against San Diego, who's obviously a much stronger team. So
yeah, and it's kind of a dart throw with all these defenses anyways. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's really hard to kind of peg it. But the last one I do like as kind of an underrated defense is Dallas against Baltimore, 2,600. Dallas is at home. Joe Flacco has not been nearly as efficient as he has been in the past this year. So I really like that matchup for Dallas, and they won't be owned at all.
No. And also, everyone, if you want to do my weird, crazy, insane thing with D'Angelo Williams, don't, because he's out for 6 weeks with a knee surgery, which I didn't realize. So please disregard my crazy suggestion, because that would be terrible for you, because you get 0 points.
Strong.
All right. Yeah, you know. All right, I'm going to go out and drink now. I hope you guys do the same. I don't even care if you're listening to this podcast at 9 a.m. on Friday. Go drink. Go have fun.
Yeah, and root for Ted Ginn since, you know, he scored tonight, but not last week. And, yeah.
Oh, would he score again? Now I have to, like, refresh this.
No, so, he didn't score again.
Mike, I had recorded the game to watch later, and Mike gets on our podcast chat and immediately told me Ted Ginn had a touchdown. I'm like, well, thanks for that. Now I have
that's
to like,
our
look
thing.
At all the
that's episodes. Like our thing. I didn't know that you were recording it prior. Like, you have to like let these things be known to me. Yeah, we're doing a football show. I assumed you're watching the football game. I don't know.
Well, actually, it was recording because, you know, remember when we were supposed to record the podcast like 3 hours ago when the game started?
All right.
So I was planning on watching the game live. I'm just being a dick.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, all right. All right, where can people follow you? See how you're doing this week.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at MikeWerner, FWFB. You can listen to the other full, you know, preview show this week. Justin was, you know, had a birthday, so I suppose he had to miss the show. And we had Eli Rosenzweig on, so definitely check that out. Check out our weekly rankings.
I'm very impressed you got his name right this week.
That's not typically something I do well, but yeah, you know, check out our weekly ranks and, you know, the scoreboard over there on the site. We have a ton of content on there. If you're a baseball fan, check that out. If you like Houston Texans, I do coverage for them on fantasypros.com as well. So check all of it out.
Should be I'm going to follow you that coverage this week because that Monday game should be interesting.
It will be. I know.
Are you going to do some donkey show coverage or no?
I definitely will implement it into the you know, the analysis post-game, for sure.
See, you're welcome. Gems. All right, guys. We'll come back to you next week, and good luck. Every night I get you on the telephone. We sleep and we talk and we play till the dawn. Trying to get a handle on who we are. Sleep all night with the phone off the hook. Fall.